opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
We will. That is our only interest. Don't want no justification from the unjust man. Justice. We want justice. Many were slain by the sword.
Greatest, Professor Griff. You're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
That was Desiree starting off the program. Justice preparing us for our guest, Brother Rob Gray, the founder of the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League, and we'll speak with him following this message. Don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul at blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned.
Our guest is Brother Rob Gray, who is the founder of the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League. It's a grassroots organization that addresses the survival of African people around the world. He's a former social worker and a former community broadcaster. And it's our pleasure to welcome him back to the program. Welcome, brother. How are you doing today?
Oh, peace, brother. Brother Jesus, peace be upon you and the listening audience, man. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I was encouraged to see you out and about at the Time for an Awakening Farmers Movement.
Yeah.
And because I hadn't seen you in a while, so I wasn't sure what was going on. And I did see you once shortly after they purged you on the radio, so I wasn't sure what was going on.
I'm still going around. I'm still around, man. I do 10 things in the community from time to time. I don't get out there as much as I used to, because I'm going to give a little legitimate old head now, so I slow down a little bit. But
yeah.
I still do our monthly community meetings, and I involve myself in projects and try to, give a little money here, there, somewhere, whatever we could help somebody with Haiti project or somebody's got something going. Try to work and assist other people that's got something going, because things are tough out here this damn time, man, and we all need to be trying to swing together, or we're going to swing separately for sure.
That's for sure. You say you're slowing down. I mean, you were swinging hard and rumbling tough. So I don't know. I don't think, revolutionaries and major reformers and major leaders can't retire, man. Cause,
no, you can't. You just have to keep going, because your enemy's not retired.
Mm-mm.
He's not retired. He's always got something up his sleeve, and he continuously put things there challenging you and doing things that are so harmful and detrimental to our people for many, many years to come. And we lack information. We lack a lot of understanding on things. And above all, we lack unity. We really, really need to come together, brother, and try to protect our backsides from this stuff that's going on. Our children are going to pay a mean price for this lack of knowledge.
Well, one thing I always respected you for was being uncompromising. When you were on the radio, you didn't pull any punches. I mean, I'm sure it got the station in trouble, but you never backed down once.
Well, the station should be be in trouble. If you got something that's supposed to be black owned and operated, and you see your people in trouble, and you ain't doing nothing but sitting there trying to compromise. Compromise with who? For what? Our people need to know certain things. And they don't want you to know. They prayed. They sent some of the emails there on me on that station. It was pathetic. Because they sitting around there arguing and listening and had people call up there from these little organizations that they run. They monitoring black people. Go down the dial to 990. Who monitoring them? Or 1210? WPHT, I call it White People Hate Talk. Who monitoring them?
Yeah.
You know? Nobody monitoring them. But every time you say it, and the thing that gets me, man, they come right on your airways, come right in your studio, come call up the phone and demand time to be insulted. And I wasn't going to take that crap off of, man. You don't do that kind of stuff. You know, you don't do that kind of stuff. But somebody bring it, hey, let them have it. You know, send them packing. You know, they just want to run everything you do. We're not supposed to have the breath of life. They don't want to see us with no money. You know, they don't even want you to have an opinion. 11th of March, when Minister Farrakhan was up in Pittsburgh. You remember that?
What particular event?
Bev Smith had that community meeting up there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they wrote said, she didn't ask permission. Like, you know, you didn't bring that by them. They didn't tell you could have a community meeting. And above all, they definitely didn't tell you could bring Farrakhan.
Right.
Who the hell do these people think they are, man?
Well, they run it. I mean, you know, for
her. Yeah, they run their mouth. They don't run me. My boss is Almighty God. I ain't thinking about it. You know.
Yeah, but that's why I respected what you were doing and respect what you were doing. That's why I'm saying that you can't retire. You know.
I guess you're right about that. But this kind of stuff that gets me, man. They threaten people, so intimidated. My job, you ain't got no job. Your job should be freeing your behind. That's what your job should be. Liberation.
Yeah, but that's the point. That see, so many people look at the communications media as a way to, you know, for self-aggrandizement, for enrichment. You weren't like that. You weren't getting paid at URD or HAT. Neither was I. Every now and then, suddenly, if I do an extra favor for him or something, it's every now and then he'll throw me a penny or something. Or I never got paid when I was with the NNPA. And one reason is because when you start getting tied to that stuff, they got you. And they can kick you out any time, and then you're tricked up, and they can make you compromise.
They're going to kick you out anyway.
Yeah.
Just like these jobs, they fighting so hard. Listen, having worked out there for the city and the state, I have 3 children. I know what you need to do to raise a family, keep a roof over your head, and put food in your stomach. But there's a line, man, that you can't cross out there when it comes to being a human being. You just don't cross that. If you say you believe, you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, then have faith that the Creator will make a way for you, always, if you believe. Now, see, if you're jiving, you know, then that's something else. We got a lot of that going on.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
They got a lot of that going on. They winking and blinking, you know, got their hands out behind their back for a dollar. You know, they just BSing, you know. And we got so much of that that's going on. I mean, here's a town where you had a district attorney who just did not like people of African descent and didn't hide it. Lynn Abrahams. 18 years he was in that office. Talk smack, called the church to Jesus voting. Just black people commit crime in jail because they commit more crime. Said all kinds of stuff. Did all kinds of stuff. You know? And our black clergy supported her every step of the way. No matter what she did, who she let go for killing our people, they didn't say a word. She run around when it's time to vote, come out, give all of them $1,000 or $2,000, and go right on back. And that's what they accept. Chump change, man.
Yeah.
Chump change. And this is what we do. And I'm sorry, man. I ain't sorry. But it's a shame that the black clergy, not only here in Philadelphia, but across this country, is part and parcel in supporting and promoting white supremacy. They're guilty of it.
Yeah.
They're guilty of it, man, from the door. And when you try to talk all black when they catch you outside, but hey, you know what time it is. Your action speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Deeds to the action. Never mind all that fat mouthing you're doing and talking all slick. What are you doing? What's the end result of your treachery and deceit? Black people in a hole, losing their life, can't go nowhere. You don't fight for nothing. You know? If you see them out there, they're up to something. Believe me, they're up to something.
Yeah. Well, at the meeting, you were really vociferous in your criticism of them and some elected officials when the brothers tried to explain what their goal was, trying to get some elected official to be supportive of them. You told them straight up, they're not going to help you. That's something in it for them.
They're not. You've got a handful of black elected officials. I don't want to call no names, but a handful of them that you could really say are trying to do something. The rest of them are scamming and shamming. That's all they're doing. I mean, they're disgraced. Some of them don't even pretend. Some of them will pretend they're doing something. You got some that ain't even pretend they're doing nothing.
No, you got a lot of them in the tri-state area that are on the double scam because they're, you know, clergy and politicians.
That's how it rolls. That's how it rolls. You know, that's just what it is. It's just preachers need to stay out of the politics. And if you want to get in it, then lead the people the right way. You know, and from where I said that, you ain't leading the right way on a spiritual tip. So if you're going to get it in, do it on a political tip. You ain't doing nothing. You got to do it. They're going straight to hell fooling with you, and they ain't got no money. That's what they're grubbing for. You got the money, and they got a one-way ticket to hell. Some help you all, buddy.
The churches on every corner in the middle of the block, and now they got the mega campuses, some of them around town. But the people are suffering, and they don't offer any kind of example.
I was out in Southwest Philadelphia, and a lady showed me the little church that she goes to. She really upset with this minister. He has a Benz between $70,000 and $100,000 parked up there in that neighborhood. And right down the street there, two or three blocks in either direction, you can find a woman or family that ain't got food on their table.
Mm-hmm.
But he got $100,000 Benz parked up there, you know, shamming and scamming. That's still good. Where in the Bible that Jesus said, gather wealth up? I didn't see that part. I missed that.
Yeah, you weren't in Sunday school that day, bro.
Yeah, you know, I was someplace else, you know. So my mom used to make us go as a child all the time.
Yeah.
Go on Sundays and Bible school.
BTU and all that old stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Bible school in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And boy, you think you're going to go to church, go to the movie on Sunday evening. You better go to church Sunday morning, otherwise you can forget it, buddy. But, I mean, all that and nothing in there says anything about that, and all they do is take from the poor, ride our backs, land straight to the poorhouse, and do nothing. And these ones here now are worse than the ones when I was coming up. They're a whole lot worse. Because them guys, we used to come, we had one, he used to walk through the neighborhood going to visit people. These guys got these big cars, you don't even see them until Sunday morning, you know? And then when you go in there, they got more plates on the table than a china shop. You know, plate for this, a plate for that, you know. And it's dressing up all clean. And oh, they got it going on. They got one of North Philly there. He got so much jewelry on. It's one of them young boys, they hooked him up, you know. I mean, he got rings on all four fingers on each hand, got rings on it. A Rolex watch, bracelet, a big old piece of jewelry around his neck with rubies, I guess they're rubies and emeralds and all gold, all kinds of stuff. Man, it's an old dude, too.
Mm-hmm.
Old dude, in his mid-70s. And that's how he hooked up there. He's like a rapper.
You know, a lot of that is showmanship, so they feel they have to put on that show.
Well, they show stakes, and it should be canceled. that's what they show need to be. Need to be canceled.
Yeah, give them the hook, man.
Well, they need to do that, Junior. And not only that, our people need to learn that we're living in a time today where the elements in this country have ruined the water, not only here, but indeed around the world. The crops are bad. The food that come out the ground is not any good. Monsanto is trying to corner the markets in seeds so that if you grow anything, it has to come from their seeds, you know? And then when you grow, you can't take the seed out of the corn or melons and replant them. You have to go get a whole new hookup. You see, these are the kind of things they're working on and are doing.
Yeah, talk about that because it was raised at the meeting, but in this country, as opposed to, say, parts of Europe and in parts of Africa where they're definitely and adamantly against genetically modified.
Yeah.
Here, they don't talk about it. I mean, that's how Monsanto's got this stuff on lockdown, and Dow, and what's the other one? DuPont.
DuPont, yeah. Well, here, we're too busy entertaining. We love the skit and grin. We spend all our time and our money buying clothes to dress up, to go somewhere, to wiggle our butts, drink liquor, and act a fool. These women running around here now, all them wigs and $1,500 weaves on their head, and the poorest neighborhoods you can find. What's up with that?
If you looked at our people today, you would think that there was never a black is beautiful, black aesthetic, black power movement in this country.
Well, that's what they did. They destroyed it. The white man destroyed that. He destroyed that. He didn't want that. And he went about destroying it. And he did it with the entertainers. He did it with the music. And look at these filthy records that just denigrating our women and our people. You know? Hoes and bees and all kinds of stuff. I'm walking around, I got my hands on my Glock and all this other crazy stuff. Just violent, ignorant, and I blame the mothers and the grandmothers them for allowing that stuff in their homes. Debbie Moore and I, we call them toxic households. What do you expect you're going to get out of child's mouth? From the womb, he's hearing this beat.
Yep.
From the womb, he's hearing this filthy language, this denigration of the female and the black family. So when he gets 6 or 7 years old, he starts popping off. Nobody's saying nothing to him. What can you say to him? He's walking around with his little drawers showing, pants hanging all down.
Well, they don't even want to acknowledge that that's a prison emulating the whole prison culture.
That's where it came out of.
Yeah.
That's where it came out. Grandmaster Flash said years ago, a child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. True. So true. If they listen, some of these brothers put it out there, and they can, but they don't pay attention to that. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear the little Kims and all them other foul mouths that need to be washed out with brown soap. You know? That's what they do. That's
yeah, but you also have the lockdown of the conscious spoken word artists, the conscious musicians, the conscious writers, the vocalists. All of that is part and parcel to just to destroy our minds.
Well, it is. It is the destruction of the black man. That's what they're up to. That's just what they're up to. What are you going to do? You're 20 years old now, you're late teens, early 20s. You should be in college. You don't go. You don't get a job. You don't get an education to create a job. That's what should be the best thing. So you got all these tattoos on your face, your neck, your arm. Don't nobody want you in their place of business looking like that. And that's disgraceful. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Do you hear the preachers that are speaking out about that? Nope.
Because they don't want to turn people off. No, I'm saying the ministers don't want to turn people off from coming in. Now they have an open door policy. It's a dress down thing. I mean, when I was coming up, and we were poor, I didn't perceive myself as that till later, but we had sets of clothes, and you had Sunday best clothes.
That's right.
Those were your best clothes.
And we took off our clothes when we came from school.
Yep.
We had work to do besides homework.
Yep.
You had something to do in the house. I went up to elementary school to a program, my wife and I, for some children. Brother, I felt so bad when them little children came there. They want to learn. And some of them come by you in the urine from the clothes not being properly cleaned. These are children 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. I don't blame them. I blame who's ever in charge of that child for letting him or her come out like that in that kind of condition. You know?
You're familiar with that because you, as a social worker, you went into their homes. You saw it. You saw
all
the all. Yeah, me
and
too.
I was the youth council. I worked at the Development Center, Cornwall Heights. I worked at Youth Study Center. And I worked for a city as an area youth worker, they call gang control.
Yeah, gang control.
That's right.
I was a juvenile probation officer.
Right. It wasn't a job, but Rizzo was the police commissioner then. And as soon as he became mayor, he tried to make us policemen. Oh, man, nobody want that stuff. That's when I left from down there and went up to Cornwall Heights. It was pretty rough on the streets. And a lot of people out there, I mean, if you thought you knew something, you get out there and see what's happening. All that stuff they taught you in school, and we learned
yeah.
it. That stuff went out the window. You better know how to survive out there.
Yeah.
You know, you better know how to survive. And I thought the wrong move, and I still do, was for us to go out there carrying guns.
Well, they wouldn't let us carry guns until near the end, and that was only a special unit. That was right. The unit that was with the police.
They wanted us to carry them. Everybody rejected them. Everybody rejected them. They just didn't want that kind of stuff. You know, they said, we don't want no guns in there, you know. But you know my boy Sam Jenkins, if you down in probation.
Yeah. He was a supervisor when I was. Right. He and his wife were down there when I started. Yeah. Well, tell me, you know, with the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League, what's the key nowadays to community organization and being viable in the community?
Right now, what we're trying to do is get some information out there. There's a thing we've got to talk about, the food. We're trying to get our people to put up food and water and medical supplies. We know you can't. What if a bottle of iodine here, a bottle of alcohol there, some Band-Aids, you know, some extra pills if you're diabetic or got high blood pressure. You know, whatever you take, try to stash it a little at a time and put something up, because the way things are going now with the price of everything going off the roof, man, you need needles, lancets for your blood sugar to check your diabetes. And it's in God, so even down to Veterans Ministry, they tell you don't check it every day now. Check it every other day because, you know, things are way up. And we're trying to get this to our people. You know, we're always the last ones to fall in line. And when everybody else get a cold, we got pneumonia, you know. And we're just trying to put that information out. And in the meantime, discussing and talking about, like on April the 30th, we got Dr. Anthony Montero we're going to come to. And we're going to talk about this black leadership.
Is he still in Philly or did he leave?
He's still right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Temple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Montero is a bad boy. You know, I love listening to him. He's an excellent teacher, man. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the president and his contribution or the lack of to what we're trying to get done. And these things we need to know. We need to talk about these things because, as you know, I was spoken once before. You're not hearing what you should hear. You're not getting it in the newspaper. Just the thing I was talking about, Judas, last year when I reminded people that between May of 08 and May of 09, 37 unarmed black men was killed in the city of Philadelphia by the police. 37 of them. 37 black men unarmed. I ain't talking about carrying no knives, none of that. Not a peep. I put it out there. We called a demonstration down at the FOP headquarters on 13th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I've got about 100 people out there, you know. And that was it. Nobody would pick up on it. Nobody did anything. NAACP, which is a disgrace in this life and the next, didn't do anything. You got some phony lawyers running around here trying to pretend they so angry and they ain't doing nothing, man. Check their record out for arrest. I mean, for letting people out of jail. You'll find they got about 87, almost 90% incarceration rate for their clients.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with, man. It's duplicity. Lying and crying about they doing something to help you. Well, if that's what you're doing, don't help me. Do not help me. You know, we had a saying coming up, you see me fighting the bear, don't help me. Help the bear. That's right. That's how I feel about them. Don't come help me. I don't want nothing to do with you. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Because you're doing a good job of destroying us and lying. So this is the kind of stuff that we're trying to counter and fight with and trying to expose what we can't expose, because you got some people running around here telling me they're running organizations and so on. So, man, these people are nothing but frauds. Teetotal frauds. Spanking our people for money, lying, and leading them down the wrong path. I got in trouble. Not trouble. I didn't get in trouble. I just told some Negroes off. They're going to get up in a meeting in a playground on 8th and Diamond. Man, we need to spill some blood. I sat there and listened for a minute. So I said, well, you ain't got no problem spilling no blood. Go out and act like a fool, right?
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
They'll fix you right up.
No, but that, you know, I used to, that was my area. They spilled blood our own all the time.
Man, black people killing each other like flies over nothing in this city. Over nothing. But I hate to hear people come and talk that talk. I asked them, I said, well, where's the safe house at? Who gonna fix the weapons when they break down? And where's the ammunition coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And where the
vehicles? Where's the food? Yeah,
all that stuff. No answer, just back mouthing. You don't need that kind of stuff, man. That's just bombastic. I came up in the 60s, and all we said, when you get people talking like that, you get away from them.
Yeah.
That wasn't up with the
police. But that's a setup anyway.
Yeah. You know? So I don't listen to that talk. I would never tell our people to pick up guns. I mean, I want them to pick up some books. I want them to get on that internet instead of looking at behinds and all that other stuff they like to look at. Check out your history. Read something. Look up what you've done. See who these politicians are doing what. Look up the voting records of some of these people in Harrisburg and the ones in Washington. Check that out. Arm yourself with something to defend yourself against this nonsense. Our whole thing is that we need to stop fooling with these people. Integration is not for us. It has not worked. And it's not going to work because they don't want no part of it. So why are we running around here trying to do something to somebody? That's like me coming to your house and you don't want me in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You might not even open the door. And they have not opened the door for America for us. The door has been closed. And we're going from door to door, trying to grin. Every time someone stick their head out that's got a white face, we start grinning. We're crazy, man. We've got to suffer from mental illness big time. Our prisons are loaded with young men and women, man, that could be of great help to our community and to a society. But for whatever reason, they done got locked up. They throw them in there and throw away the key, and they create jobs for these white boys up in the upstate Pennsylvania and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They can't even spell their name if they had all the alphabets, you know. Barely made it through high school. They working overtime, making $80,000, $90,000 a year in Philadelphia.
That's
black men.
Yeah, but that's, you know, they replace the mines or the steel mills or the factories that closed down, and they build a prison. I heard one of the politicians said that your new governor has three new prisons on.
Three new ones. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But he don't have any money for the school.
Right.
He don't have any money for the daycare for the children. Nothing. But everything to lock black people up and throw away the key. Creating jobs in these little burgs, upstate Pennsylvania, with a coal mine been closed down. And when you build a prison, you got to build a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You build a gas station. You build all kinds of places where people spend the night up there and whatnot. And they could put parking meters out there. They can make a field. They have a field day making money off our incarceration. And we just don't get it. And we just don't get it. And I think here's what leads back to these households. A mother and a father has a responsibility to raise that child up that she and he or she will have some discipline by his or herself. You just can't let your children run wild. You just can't do it. And I don't mean you beat them and slam them down. I ain't talking about no brutality. But there's a way. Teach your children. Teach them. But then again, you can't teach what you don't know.
Right.
You see?
Right.
You don't know nothing. That's where the problem starts at. 15, 14 years old having babies and smoking weed and blunts and wet and all that other crazy stuff. If you wasn't crazy, you will be after
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm. And I used to tell the males, look, man, do you realize what that is doing to your system and it's transferred in your seed? So right. If you impregnate a female, it's going to impact the child. Do you want do you want to have a child with a major problem?
Well, you know, Prozac,
Ritalin,
all that Thorazine,
Valium,
all them things have an effect on your reproduction, every one of them. And this is what it is, too. They're trying to stop these children from having these babies. Not because they're so interested in not coming there. They want to fix them so they can't reproduce. This by cutting down on the black population.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with this thing with these conservatives hollering about, oh, you got to have no abortion clinics. Don't let them have babies. I don't care whether it's incest. We don't care if it's rape. But these same conservatives, when you had a baby, they cut off the WIC program. They make sure you can't get nothing on welfare. Well, why bring a child here to torture and punish and steal? That goes to show you're dealing with, man.
Yeah, but the other side of that is these same people who talk about the sanctity of life, they're the ones who vote for, support, and fund all these wars. So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, well, they try to. They try to. Well, this country, man, if it don't get its act together, I'm a firm believer it's going to fall flat on its face. And I just hope that somewhere out of this chaos and confusion, some of our children could rise up out of these ashes and take this place on the world stage, not just on local or national, but the world stage. We are qualified people. We are people that have a long and glorious history, regardless of what some people might want to say about it. And being black is nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful. The Creator made the first human beings black. Scientists tell you that all over the world today. The first human beings, the original man, was a black man. The original woman was a black woman. And you can't change that. You can run around here and try to revise history and try to lighten up the paintings and the tombs and Egypt and all that old stuff. Hey, ain't going to work. Ain't going to work at all. The Hebrew Israelites, Moses was black, Abraham was black, Jesus was black. All of them come out of black land. Black people in that country of Africa, Northeast and Northwest Africa, right there, black people.
That's why they don't teach geography in the schools anymore, and they don't teach real history. They teach it from the Aryan kind of mentality. They bought into that Aryan lies and mythology.
That's all it is. That all this stuff is a myth that they put down. This is why we're so messed up, too. This thing about having a white God. Black people with a white God.
Yeah.
That's just messing our children's head up and our people's head up. You know?
Well, but that's the... If you look at why they hate the Haitians so much and the Colombos and the Maroons is because they retained their African culture enough to say, okay, at least we're not going to have the European concept of a God. And so if we could get back to an African concept of God, that would be a major, major step forward.
Well, Aristide in Haiti, Jean-Baptiste Aristide, when he was the president there, he made Verdun,
mm-hmm.
the national religion. That's what we, and right after that, my man found himself on an unscheduled flight to Central America.
Yeah. Midnight train to Africa.
That's right. That's right.
Well, the other thing too, he raised the minimum wage. Those two things were a no-no.
Those European manufacturers over there got this slavery thing going on to a T. I think he rated about 30 cents or something like that to give people. They wouldn't even get a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a fit.
Yeah.
When I look at these people here celebrating this 150th year of the start of the Civil War, and it's the 78 individuals that signed this article out in Charleston, succeeding from the United States as they knew it then. One of the things they did, man, was that they said they had a right to slaves.
Yeah,
you know,
but the slavery was on their money. That was, if you look at a Confederate dollar or whatever they called it, it was a depiction of our ancestors picking cotton.
If they want slaves, they can put each other in slavery all day. Just leave me out of it and leave my people out of it. You understand?
Well, they tried that. That didn't work.
Well, too bad. Too bad. Let them go ahead on with that stuff. And South Carolina and that Charleston there, I'm from originally from that end. And I'm telling you, man, that South Carolina is a piece of work. It still is. It still is. We got a fight on our hands, man. But we just don't want to fight. We don't want to fight. And I mean, I ain't talking no physical fight. It's a mental thing.
Yeah,
you got to fight back with
mm-hmm.
your mind.
Yeah.
That's the first place you start at. I know we ain't got the wherewithal to do the thing because we don't own no gun factories. We don't own no ammunition dumps. We ain't got no airplanes. We ain't got none of that. So I ain't trying to encourage nobody to commit no suicide. But by the same token, you got your weapon is your thinking, and your weapon is where you spend your dollar at. You can fight, or you can fix it real good.
Yeah,
you can fix
it,
but we won't do it. Everybody comes in America, ends up in the African American community.
Well, that's where they challenge them to come there because they're not going to set up shop in their neighborhood. You know.
Well, see, we're like a big dead carcass. You know, as a child in the South, I saw. When an animal died, sometimes they would drag him off into a field and just let the vultures
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we are. We're like a giant, supersized carcass. And everybody comes in from around the world and feed off us. They take our money. They give us cheap, rotten food. They give us the worst clothing. They charge us more for a car. They charge us more for a house. They charge us more interest for a loan. You name it, they do it. And we can't get our people to stand up and fight back. And I've said, Junis, for many years, a lot of black people, a lot of them, are not interested in stopping oppression. They want to be oppressors. They dare
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that. And I see it in the way they act, the way they conduct themselves.
But not only that, we've bought into the whole a-spiritual materialism of the West. And so now, talking about sacrifice, talking about being righteous, and I'm not talking about church. I'm just talking about my eye, just being straight up.
Right.
That, all that. They don't want to hear that.
Well, see, we come out of a culture in Africa. We were communal. Well, we're communal. You didn't go out in the village and come back and fix your own meal and sit behind your hut and eat it. They had a communal pot. Everybody ate. You didn't leave nobody out. People stick together. You fed each other. You watched out for each other. If somebody was sick, you were. And we had some of that in our community coming up here.
Yeah, right.
I've seen that. Miss so-and-so was sick or her husband was sick. They would go over there and make sure the man's house was clean. His wife had, the children had food. See his lunches packed. I'm telling you what I've seen. See that he had his, you know, his thing together to go to look out for the children. I'll take two of them over here.
Mm-hmm.
You take two of them over there. You understand what I'm saying? They got on their feet and then they went back home.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that. They don't do that anymore. You know why? We're so transit now. Nobody lives long in these houses anymore. They're here for a year and a half, 18 months, and they're gone.
Yeah, but not only that you know, they had that situation, but remember before they left, they tried to keep in contact.
Right.
When the first generation moved north, the other people came and they did that communal thing. They stayed till they got on their feet.
Well, like large families lived in the house. You had the grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the parents. You had the children. And some places, the great-grand, the little ones, was all in one house, one big three-story house. They all lived in there. I don't know how they all got there, but they all was in there, you know? And that's how they lived. And we just don't see that anymore. We're not about sharing. We're very selfish. People move in and live next to you. They don't even want to speak, man. They, you know, they want you to know what they're doing. They don't get along either. You could never get up in my neighborhood and scrub your steps and then scrub the neighbor's steps. That was unconscionable.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
They don't even speak their
in a row house,
I lived in a row house in North Philly. Well, that's just how they roll, man. And this is the thing what the league is trying to do, is to remind us of who we are, where we at, and where we came from, and where we should be headed. We try to keep that at the forefront in our presentations to our people, always, of where we at. We deal with community issues. In January, I had a meeting up in the library at Shelton and Green. I had a young lady come in and give a presentation on the STDs in the community and probably at the school and the children. I saw this month, they come out with a report already that gonorrhea is up 32%
mm-hmm.
between children 10 and 14 years old. Chlamydia and is up 34%. And syphilis up 45%. These are children.
Yeah.
And it's the stuff that we're trying to deal and give out information. And she bought condoms for the men and women. They got women condoms. And we gave them out. We gave out the literature to go along with it. Excellent, excellent meeting, man. Nice crowd. But we just wish more people would have been there. And whatnot. We had a nice crowd. I mean, you know. But that wasn't the point. We wanted more people there. And we gave out literature for them to take back to their community and whatnot. And Brother Wesley Bay told a story, and I saw it on TV, where this woman was 78 years old and became a victim of HIV.
Mm.
You know, 78 years old.
Mm.
Boy, that just broke your heart to see that. This woman said she only...
Well, that was one of the largest growing segments, because the older guys were dealing with the younger women
right.
and the young girls, and then, you know, coming and bringing it back home.
Well, not only that, they're not. I mean, a lot of these guys' wives are dead now, and they're by themselves. You got these young girls that come along, they out there on that crack and that cocaine and blunt, and they'll do anything for money. And they done took some of these brothers and whatnot, some older people where they ain't been before. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They'll catch wild. Then you get that little blue pill now. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
They out there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's for the fastest growing community. Women 50 years and older in West Oak Lane and Mount Airy is the biggest, simplest community in the city, and the fastest going, 50 years and older.
Well, I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about the spike in measles. the spike in there was a spike in polio, and there was a spike in tuberculosis.
Right.
You know, so it shows the stress level and the situations where now in 2011 you're seeing a spike in these things that were supposedly eradicated.
Well, like I say, hygiene is a key thing to it. We don't have hygiene in school. We don't teach the children anything. They don't even have the stuff where you teach them how to cook and home economics.
Right, right.
It's
right.
A home economics, no hygiene. I don't know how much gym they could be having, but how you going to play do gym with your pants hanging off your behind? You can't do too much running. I mean, this stuff is just crazy. They've turned this stuff upside down, and instead of our black people standing up for it, they're joining in with this stuff and supporting it.
Well, the one thing that I'll say is that the time there were people who stood up and there was blowback from, say, some of the gangster rappers and their quote-unquote producers and some of these other people, and the people backed down as a result of being attacked by whoever it was. They didn't hold their ground.
You talking about CeeLo Louis Tucker?
Yeah, and people like, what's the guy in New York, the minister in New York, at Abyssinian.
Yeah. Classic case of inmate, one of the house inmates that took charge. Down. These young people need to be taught, not trying to do so much teaching. You got to get them and teach them so they can grow up and become teachers. But right now, nothing from nothing has always left nothing, and you got a bunch of people that don't know a damn thing trying to teach. So what are they talking about? What's the source of your wisdom? What's the foundation for all this knowledge you want to expound? All this wild stuff, feelings and emotions. No. That ain't gonna get it. That's why we're in the hole we're in now and keep on going. America is a cesspool of filth, and we're wallowing it right along the rest of it.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody interviewing, and I reminded him that Martin Luther King had confided with one of his associates that he was worried that he was attempting to, quote, integrate into a burning building. And the flames are even higher now, brother.
Brother, the whole joint's on fire now. The whole thing, the roof's on fire, the ground floor's on fire, and every building in between is just burning up. And all they're trying to do, they're trying to make wrong fast seeming, just like the scripture says. They're trying to make wrong fast seeming. They know this stuff ain't right, but they just so hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious, they going to do it and want to do it anyway just because. You know,
well, they get rewarded for that. That's the incentive. Just like with the housing thing, they incentivize fraud and criminality. So only the really righteous people stepped off because they just weren't going to do it. Where the other folks, well, hey, I don't do it. Somebody else will. So let me get this money. That's the kind of mentality.
That's so crazy. You know. Well, see, that's that rugged individualist thing. The John Wayne mentality, American mentality.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the bad guy. I'm going to come in town. I'm going to clean up everything. And when people talk about it takes a village to raise a child, there's much sense in that.
Yeah, but at this point, the village is pathological. There's a lot of people who believe what you're saying is true, but they won't step up. And there are a lot of people who aren't on that level of consciousness. And then there's a whole group of people who could care less.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, this thing about wanting and design material things and don't want to do anything to rock the boat. Well, you should turn the damn boat over. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Turn
yeah.
the damn boat over. You can't sit up there where they want these material things. This country is so materialistic, and that dragon has breathed on us. Everybody wants a dollar, and some people do anything for it. Do you know, man, I've seen around my community and others around here, there's more prostitution going on now than ever before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about in them corners. I can know some women that have turned their house in the house. They take the children to school, they come back, and they start dealing their customers off until the time to go pick their children up from school to make money because they don't have no job.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing what they have to do to survive, and that makes a cold-blooded person, man. It makes it cold-blooded. The people just don't have to, just terrible. The food banks are running out of food. We have all kinds of problems. You got a congressman who here in Philadelphia has the second hungriest district, just the Philadelphia, second congressional district. Second hungriest district in North America. But homeboy, Mr. Wheels,
he's looking good.
Oh, yeah. And Charlie Lankin with his nonsense, New York and Harlem.
Yeah.
He has the first hungriest district up in Harlem. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, these are things we need to look at. These people are giving us nothing and taking everything, and we're not even opening our mouths.
Now, you're doing some writing. Is that available just to Philadelphia, or is it regional? Is it on the web or what?
I don't know where Leo to distribute it to, but it's right here in Philadelphia. Anybody interested in getting a copy of that journal, they can call 215-732-0180. That's 215-732-0180. And they can get a copy of the journal. And if you sign up, you get a subscription for it, he'll mail it to you.
Okay.
Get it in the mail.
Is there an online version?
No. He don't have it online, you know.
Okay.
They don't do no advertising and everything. It's just people just have to start. And if you want to write an article, you can be a contributing writer. You can write in. You know, there's no thing like you could have to be no professional.
You write
your article and he'll edit it, see what's happening with it, and he'll print it. Some people write regularly like myself. Others write when they get a load of
it.
But he prints it all. So he don't leave them out. So if people want to do that, they should either join it. And because, people got things they need to say and should say. You know, and if they want to use an alias, let them do that because some of them ain't got no heart.
Right.
So let them use an alias, you know.
Well, I was going to say, why don't you think in terms of, coming on the Internet? I mean,
I've thought about that, but you have to talk me through that because let me see what's happening with it. See what, I wouldn't mind.
Okay. We can do that offline.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely, given the transition that happened at HAT and URD, and you see how weak the electronic media is in Philly, and basically the print media is struggling. So this is the last hurrah, brother. It's an open frontier. We got internet TV. We got internet radio. So this is it.
I'm glad I spoke to you too, man, because sometimes I don't ever catch up with you. I'll be running all around. But I'm going to hook up with that. I'd like to do internet radio. I really would.
Okay.
I really seriously would like to do that, because right now we have nothing, man. I mean, we got people that are the white media is racist to the core. They print what they want to print, and things they should print, they don't print. Things they shouldn't print, they do. And we have black people that's around the fringe of this stuff. They ain't got no heart. They try to hang on to them jobs at CNN and all them other places, the one or two that's there. WRD could be a real voice in the community, but they lack heart, man. They ain't got no heart. None. I tell them all that. They ain't got no heart whatsoever. When it comes down to standing up for their people, they take them back throughout. And we know who's pulling
the street.
They pull the street. If we did that, we wouldn't get no advertisement. You ain't got none now.
Right.
Gonna get none. They don't want that.
But that just shows that they're not schooled on the history of media, black media in this country. Serious black media never got corporate advertising.
Because, they won't get out there to fight. I tried to encourage the management down there when I was there to, listen, you go into Acme, you can't see them with black faces, Passport, all these stores. Take a bunch of brothers and sisters there one Saturday, 50, 60 of us. Let's go down there and, tell that dude, listen, man, y'all get money to advertise, send some over to black states. If you don't, you have a problem out of us. I mean, that's how you got to roll with them,
But, when I was on HAT, I went to one of those stop-and-go spots on Lancaster Avenue, and the guy told me, he said, hey, I don't have to advertise. People are going to come in here anyway.
That's right. And he's right. Listen, we were out there on 52nd in Baltimore advertising, and then the woman sent her children to try to go in the store to buy food while we were blocking this place up. This Asian woman had called off-duty cop, was putting up signs about the violence in the community.
Mm-hmm.
She told us, take that sign and get out of here. She said, well, I'm off color. I don't care nothing about these niggas killing each other. That's what she said. And she made every dime that she had them sons had them big SUVs. Every dime she made, she got from black people. And the Negroes around there act like they couldn't stay out of there. And we were out there about 200 strong demonstrating, at least 200, maybe more. And they try to send some assistance when they got the children rounded up and tell them to listen. You tell you what, we down here fighting for our justice here. And don't come down here. Go to another
Go a couple blocks over, you know. Yeah.
Brother Bay and his wife was out there during the day. We taking turns. They were rotating. A brother came up there. They told the brother what they were doing. So he acted like he was going to agree. He rolled around the corner, came back, opened the door, let his child go. The child went in the store and bought the stuff. I mean, these are people that tell you, call you a nigga right to your face, and they know it, and they still insist. I mean, he did that not because he had to. He just wanted to, you know, just wanted to. You can't tell me what to do. And that's the dumbest thing in the world. If nobody told you what to do, you wouldn't know how to brush your teeth, put your shoes on. You wouldn't know how to read or write. What do you mean nobody tell you? Everything you learn from the head of another human being. You know, what do you mean nobody tell you what to do? But that's how ignorant. That's how ignorant. I mean, that meaning we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. That's how ignorant we are as a people.
And arrogant, too, not to learn.
No. Yeah. No, you can't tell them nothing. Can't tell me nothing, you know. We was up there demonstrating up there in Staten Avenue and Shelton about that stop and go. God, you can't tell me to get my drink on. He probably rolled up to be drinking. You can't tell me to get my drink on. I go, hey, man, ain't nobody tell you not to drink. Say, don't drink here. Go someplace else.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
Just obstinate, man. Because them people didn't give a damn what age he was. He come in there and plucked the money. Now they give him the beer.
Yep.
They didn't care.
Yep. We just had an incident with some people, a young person who bought some drug paraphernalia. We confronted him, and his mother asked him where he got it, and he got it from a store in the neighborhood. So she said she was going to go around there and confront him because he was definitely, I think he was like 15. They shouldn't have sold that to him, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that's what's going on in our community. And,
man, they sell loose cigarettes to children
11,
12 years old, right around the corner here from where they're. And you try to tell them about it, they don't do anything. The parents don't do anything. It's just terrible. Just absolutely terrible.
So what's on the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League agenda for the next month or so, next couple of months?
Well, next month we're going to be, this month we got our meeting, like I say, April the 30th down in Berean with Dr. Anthony Montero. And we're working on a thing that we're trying to put together, something with the women in prison and the women that come out of prison. You hear about the brothers, but you hear very little about the women. And we're going to still continue to put out information about these STDs with our children in these elementary school now, brother. It's them got down elementary school.
Yeah, I saw something, and they were complaining that they gave out condoms to 11-year-olds in Philly.
Well, they're the ones who come up with STDs.
Yeah.
You know, it's there, whether we like it or not. We can say all we want to say, but it's there. Man, you see some of these children 10, 11 years old? I mean, they're huge.
Yeah.
They ain't got the mind, but they sure got the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, the whole nine, Lord, I was at elementary school. The girl was in the fifth grade. She was 5'8". Fifth grader.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, her mama better keep an eye on her. The biggest, very pretty child. I said, Lord, her mercy, better stand guard over this baby, because if you don't, she's going to find herself in trouble.
But you'd be surprised how they know early on how to attract attention.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's your good women come in with that. They know how to do that. They do that. They start off real young with that.
Yeah.
They want attention, man. They know how to get it, too.
Yeah.
They know how to get it, you know.
All right, brother, give us a contact number for the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League, a website or whatever, email, whatever you got.
Well, I thought of my email. My email is aafrl@yahoo.com. That's my email. My website is aafrl.org. aafrl.org. If you want to reach me, you can reach me. 474-3577. 215-474-3577. And I wish people would look up on our website, because we keep it up to date with a lot of information and a lot of stuff that's going on and stuff that you won't find here. We get people from our associates and whatnot from South Carolina and Texas. We get stuff from all over. They send me stuff and we put it up there.
Mm-hmm. Give that URL one more time.
Huh?
Give the URL one more time.
URL?
Yeah, the website address.
Oh, the website. AAFRL.org.
Okay.
AAFRL.org.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, hold on. We're going to keep on you offline, but we're going to sign off here.
Okay.
So don't go anywhere. Just
okay.
We'll be that was Rob Gray, who is the founder and head of the African American Freedom and Reconstruction League. And we thank you and thank him for being here. And we thank you for listening.
Diverse faith is a place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates. No denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.